And good morning again, and welcome to the La Porte Church of Christ. It is June 28th, 2026. We welcome you folks out there. We thank you for being here. And again, I hope you enjoyed that message. That message by Pastor Peters was, fear God and keep his commandments. And a lot of good truths in there. And, you know, I think that society would be a whole lot better off if we would do just practice what Pastor Peters taught us in there and fear God. Just about every direction you look, there's people that don't fear God. And like he said in that message, there's, you know, and I've talked to a lot of people just have that idea made up in their mind that, you know, God's their buddy, God's their friend, God's the, this and that. And, you know, that was a convicting message, and I really appreciate it. I hope it meant something to you folks out there. Been trying really hard to make sure and get some of these new messages out there, get them restored, and making them so we can play them for you. Stuff that hasn't been played in a long time, and because of the new technology that's available, we're able to take these old messages that normally we couldn't play and be able to restore them. Got that one done late last night, and I hope you enjoyed it. Let us go to our Heavenly Father with a word of prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and we thank you, Father, for this opportunity to be here. And we pray that as we come and sing songs to you, Lord, and get into your word, we pray, Father, that you shine your face down upon us. We thank you for this special time that you've given us, and we gather together as we're commanded to, not forsaking the assembly. And Lord, we pray that as we go forth from here this week, that we can be a light into this dark world, Lord, that we can continue to spread truth. We pray that you recharge our batteries, that you rejuvenate us, that you strengthen us, and that you encourage us. We pray that we can learn to be a better blessing to you, that we can love you stronger. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen. You know, one of the things that Pastor Peters brought up in that message, and if you didn't hear it the hour before, we'll be playing it the hour after, but it was just on, it went into so many scriptures on the fear of the Lord. And you know, that's one thing that we've really lost in society. And, you know, that's part of loving him, is to fear him. And we're commanded to do that. And, you know, it's been in my prayers lately that how do we love our Heavenly Father more? And I've been praying that with my family and wanting to know, it's like, how can we be a blessing? How can we be a blessing to God? And I really think that that sermon answered a lot of the questions that I had. Stuff that, you know, I needed to be reminded of, stuff that I knew, but some of it, you know, you forget. And I really did appreciate that message. Working on the next Dragon Slayer newsletter, so keep that in your prayers if you would. I would appreciate that. And do have a lot of songbooks. Songbook 1, 2, 3, 4, I believe 5. There's maybe one of them that I don't have. Songbooks and CDs. And if you would like those, haven't offered those in a long time, but I would like to just give them away free of charge. If you would, if you'd like one or two or all of them, let me know, and I'll make sure that they get sent to you. You can write to me or shoot me an email. And just got to, was moving the office and found we had an abundance of them. So want to pass those on and make those available free of charge. Also, as it the world calls it Pride Month, and well, we've talked about that, but Pastor Peters wrote a book titled Death Penalty for Homosexuals as Prescribed in the Bible. And it's one of those books, can't put it on the website or anything like that, because as soon as I do, they take our website down, and you know, all that sort of things. It's censorship, but we do have. I was going through things and got several cases of those, and you know, it's our e-commerce sites. They don't like it when we put like stuff like that on there, so we can't put them up there. But we do have them, and If you'd like one of those, just request it, and we will send those out to you free of charge also. Fantastic book written back in the 80s, and want to make sure and let you know about that. Brother Zach, he's doing much better. We recorded yesterday afternoon, and his message is titled, Why We Are Obedient. And talking with him, he was doing much better, really appreciated the prayers, and wanted me to thank you folks for all the prayers that you sent his direction, and was doing much better. So praise the Lord for that. And we'll go ahead and have that message by Brother Zach, Why We Are Obedient.
And greetings to the once lost but now found sheep of the house of Israel. Today, this day, June 28th, 2026, we here at the LaPorte Church of Christ welcome all of you out there here this morning. We're glad that you're able to join us, and I begin by defining who Jesus Christ is, and that's found in John chapter 1. I begin by reading in verse 1, and it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." And in verse 14, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glories of as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth." And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the definition of Jesus Christ. Christ, he is the Word that became flesh, and the Word is God, as it says there in verse 1. So in order to know Jesus Christ, you have to know the Word, who he was sent for, what he's all about. You need to know his politics, and you need to be submissive to that Word. If you are not, then you are not one of his. So last few weeks I've been gone, and for all of you out there that were praying for me for my speedy recovery, I want you to know Jason told me about that, and I appreciate those prayers. Not going to lie to you, that was miserable. I don't ever want to go through that again. And I wouldn't wish that on anybody, but it's just one of those things that happened, and that's all I'm going to say about it. But as I get into the sermon, it's about obedience and what we are obedient to. And how I kind of thought about this sermon for this morning was last, I don't know, probably week or whatever, I found on Facebook one of my heroes from back when I was in my 20s. I have mentioned this before. Back when I was in my 20s, I was trying to be involved in the rough stock and the rodeo, and I did compete on a semi-professional open class level. And some of the guys I used to compete against with were pretty high-speed dudes. One of the guys I used to compete against, he was a reserve world champion in the IPRA. So most of you people out there probably are west of the Mississippi. The IPRA was the pro rodeo circuit, and I'm east of the Mississippi. I don't think the IPRA I don't think they're involved in western United States, but where I'm from, there was very few PRCA sanctioned rodeos. So, I mean, there's a few of them around, but I mean, it's pretty rare, like, especially in the territory that I ran, that I was ever on them. But what I found one of my heroes on Facebook, and he started a podcast, and this was a guy that, you know, back in the day, so like I started in probably 95 is when I started. And this guy was the PRCA world champion that year. And it's a man by the name of Jerome Davis. And he was in the IPRA, and then he got over in the PRCA, and he ended up winning the world championship for the PRCA in 1995. And he was a lanky, skinny guy. And he ended up, I think it was in 98 or 99, he was on a bull, and he got knocked out on a bull. And then when he was knocked out, when he fell off the bull, he landed on his head and he broke his neck. I mean, most people in the rodeo world, especially if you're my age, would know who this guy is. Guy was a legend. I think he's getting inducted in the Hall of Fame. But he ended up falling and breaking his neck. And he's paralyzed from the chest down. And I was sitting there listening to one of his podcasts. And he was 25 at the time when this accident happened. And he was engaged to this young lady. She was like 22, 23. And her name is Tiffany. And they were engaged at the time of his accident. And she ended up staying with them. And then they went on and they got a ranch. He's from North Carolina. And they end up getting a ranch, starting a rodeo school. They raise bucking bulls. And as I was sitting there listening to the two of them talk, they were being interviewed. This guy, like, I used to follow him a lot. Like, I would always watch him on, I think it was TNT back in the day. And, you know, he was one of those hard chargers. He was always in the top 10 in the world. And, you know, anytime you ever seen him get interviewed, he was just a good guy. And as I was sitting there listening to them talk about, you know, before his accident, when his accident happened, the struggles they had, and when they went, they end up getting married and they built all this stuff. You know, he was sitting there talking about, you know, well, we got engaged and we were going to go and get married. And then the next day I was going to go, I had signed up for a rodeo, and this girl just sat there and followed along with him. And just, you know, she was attached at the hip with him. And then when he got into his accident, the doctor was talking to his parents, and Jerome's mom said, this is Tiffany, his fiance. And she said the doctor looked at him and says, yeah, only about 10% of them stay after something like this. But this girl, and she's just a girl at the time, and now she's a woman, she stayed with Davis to this day. And I got to thinking about that, like, why would a woman stay with a guy like that? And I'm sitting there and I'm listening to this guy talk. And I was sitting there and he's like, you know, you see him on his little Facebook reel. He's like, you guys wouldn't believe what me and Tiffany are doing today. And you wouldn't believe what we're doing, you know, what we did last week. And, you know, and he's in a wheelchair and, you know, and they just go around and they make things happen. But I was sitting there listening to him, like, you know, when he was talking about when they were going to get married, you know, they're going to get married. And then the next day he was going to be in competition. And she just went along with it. And I was sitting there, you know, and he's talking about having a world championship mindset to be the best at his game. Because he was taken out at the top of his game. And it didn't matter what was going on. No matter if he was getting married, if he was supposed to be doing whatever, his business was bull riding. That's what he thought about. That's how he paid the bills. That's what they did. He was living his dream. And it didn't matter what was going on around him. Bull riding came first. His passion came first. His dream came first. And I honestly think that she was able to recognize that that way of life came first. And she was able to attach herself to that lifestyle. And after the accident, she stuck with them. And she's with them to this day. And it doesn't matter what's going on. He's still calling the shots, even though he's in a wheelchair. And the guy gets inducted into the Pro Rodeo Hall of Fame. They have a Jerome Davis invite tour stop for the PBR in his honor that his Buck and Bulls are at the, on tour. He's got Buck and Bulls on tour. He's making a living in spite of what happened. You know, he said, I could have just been, you know, a boo-hoo. You know, he's like, it was a tough pill to swallow, you know, being paralyzed. But he kept pushing forward. And his wife was, it didn't matter what happened. He even tried running her off after the wreck. She's like, no, but there was something about that guy that she decided she could not live without. And I honestly believe it was, and it still is, the ability to be able to make decisions and lead, even if it's only from a chair. And the things that he's been able to accomplish after the fact, you know, he was sitting there saying, I could have won more world titles, you know, because he was that good. But it all got robbed from him at the age of 25. And what'd he do? Assess the situation. He decided he wanted to continue to be involved with the sport. Because that's the great thing about rodeo. Even though you're competing against each other, like I got guys that I used to compete with, if I still run across them, you know, we're still good friends. We used to compete against each other. But that level of respect that we had for each other was, it's still there today. And you care. You know, it's a dangerous sport, but, you know, everybody's always pulling for each other. You know? And his wife stayed with him. Because I believe it didn't matter, like, they both understood that the goal was rodeo. It wasn't necessary. That was their mission. And it still is to this day. And, you know, that's just the way it is. And she sits there and sticks by him through thick and thin, no matter what. And he's the boss. And it's actually like, you sit there and you watch their story. And it's like, you know, what a great example of how a marriage relationship should work. Because there's a lot of things that's supposed to be involved in a marriage relationship that I would imagine is not there. But the foundation was built on trust and integrity and not wavering. And they're a very successful couple when it looked like everything was going to go south. And she stuck with them. You and I, as Christians, probably should have that mentality as far as our walk with Christ. No matter what happens in our lives, we know, if we know the mind of Christ, we know at the end, things will work out. And when we sit there and we watch the Judeo-Christian world, there are so many things that do not line up with the word that became flesh. There's so many things that were taken, and there's things that are added. That, you know, they have no no husband. You know, the church is the bride of Christ. They think they do. What are they? They're a bunch of people that say they're loyal to Jesus, that say they're obedient to Jesus Christ. But are those are they're going to be the ones that say, depart from me, I knew you not, because of their lack of obedience, because their foundation wasn't solid, and they're going to hear dreadful words. What are they? What are they? They're like having a pet. You got to provide everything. You have to provide everything. You got to make all the decisions. They're no helpmate to our Lord and Savior. They're just there, existing, absorbing product, resources. Not obedient, not pushing the true political system that God wants to have over this world. They're working against it, and they're oblivious to it. And there's going to come a time when they are cut off. You know, Jesus is keeping his word. If you don't want to obey, I will send a deluding influence on you, so that way you will be disobedient. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 4. I begin by reading in verse 1. Now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and judgments which I am teaching you to perform. Listen, what does he say? I'm teaching you to perform. What does that mean? You have to look at it, understand it, and act accordingly. That's what you have to do. That's what I have to do. You are to perform. You're to take those judgments and statutes and hold them near to your heart and use that as your guide. That is the word that became flesh, right there. So that you may live and go on and take possession of the land which the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you. Verse 2. You are not to add to the word which I am commanding you, or take away from it, that you may keep the commandments of your Lord, or of the Lord your God, which I command you. What do we are to do? This is part of our performance. We're not to add, and we are not to take away. The Judeo-Christian sermon or preachers, they take away. What do they say? They say the law was tacked up on the cross with Jesus. No, the price was paid for the disobedience to those who are obedient to Jesus Christ and to repent and be baptized in his name to receive the Holy Spirit. That is what was tacked up on there. It was payment. Just the sacrifice needed to be done. God is the God of his word. Payment delivered. Now, either you want to, you know, hook up to that payment through baptism, or you don't. Because that also is in the word. But we're not to add or take away. So what have these enemies of Christ done, even though they claim to be on his side? They have taken away Jesus' identity by taking away his law. They've also taken away his identity by not properly teaching the Abrahamic covenant. And then they got all these Judeo-Christians snuggling up to these Edomite Jews and saying, behold the chosen ones of God. Behold the chosen ones of Jesus. When they sit there and they spit at the name of our Lord and Savior. The sacrifice. That's what they do. Verse 3. Your eyes have seen what the Lord has done in the case of Baal Peor. For all the men who followed Baal Peor, the Lord your God has destroyed them from among you. So we'll just put it in plain terms. Although I'm assuming he's talking about the golden calf that Aaron made for him because Moses was gone too long. And what'd he do? Those guys did not enter the land. I'm assuming. I guess I haven't. I'm assuming that's what he's talking about here. You see what happens because of disobedience. You don't get what's promised. You don't get what God said was going to be done for you because you didn't disobey. And that's actually a huge thing because, you know, when you listen to these Judeo-Christians, they sit there and they talk, well, that land was promised to them forever. Yes, under the condition of disobedience. Or if not under the condition of obedience. But what happened, there was so much disobedience. The land was defiled because of the lack of obedience to the law. And the land rejected them. God had them removed. So what happens? Well, Genesis 17, they formed a multitude of nations. What happened? That maledictory oath was fulfilled because Abraham didn't go through the two halves, and Jesus hung on the cross, and he died, fulfilling that, releasing that land contract. But your Judeo-Christian preachers don't teach that. I imagine 75% of them don't even understand that, and they get paid well for making their congregations feel good. They buy in a fire insurance policy. Verse 4, but you who held fast to the Lord your God are alive today, every one of you. So these are the ones that did not bow their knee to this false God that Moses is pointing out here, and they are able to enter. Every one of them. God kept his promise. God kept his promise because of obedience. So this portion of the bride here, Israel, for some reason was able to remain obedient and keep their eye on the prize, which was the land that was going to be given to them. And they were like, that's the decision our God made. I agree. And they were able to enter. Just like Jerome Davis's wife, didn't matter what happened to him. He makes decisions, and he goes, and they're two little lovebirds. The cutest darn thing you ever seen, really, if you think about it. I mean, just think if our obedience was that powerful, and that if we were that loyal to our God, the things that he would be able to do for us. Just think if our country was that obedient to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and actually call for a day of repentance and read the laws of God and uphold them as our political system and stop obeying and stop listening to what these talking heads are doing. You know, these talking heads and, you know, this political system, it's so corrupt. It's such a clown show because of the people's disobedience, because they've been listening to these Baal preachers. Trump, the Senate, the Congress, the local governments, they are not your enemy. They are ministers of the Lord. They are a barometer. They are in a barometer which shows you how distant and how unpleased the Lord is with our country and the multitude of nations, because they are so far and so detached from his law and his political system. Next thing you know, we got some crazy president bombing Iran, doing all the work for Esau Edom. Because of what, all because of what the preachers have taught the people over the last 100 years. I mean, I was sitting there listening to Benjamin Netanyahu, and he's over saying, well, we don't take orders from America. They got this peace deal, I think it was last week. You know, gonna come up with a peace treaty with Iran. And in that peace treaty, Israel's got to stop bombing Lebanon. And Israel's over there, you know, the Israelis, I should be correct about it. Israel is like, well, we don't take orders. We're going to bomb the daylights out of them anyway. Which, from what I understand on the internet, all those cities that they're bombing in Lebanon are the most Christian cities in Lebanon. Going to hit them. We're going to keep going. Okay, Strait remains closed. I mean, seriously, think about it. Like, what sense? What sense? What? What's the word? For a government to be puffed up, such as the Israeli government, to think that they can just sit there and keep doing what they're doing, bombing Gaza, bombing Lebanon. I mean, it's an actual genocide. They're just wasting people. To sit there and think that they don't actually have to listen to the public opinion of the United States of America, because the public opinion of the United States of America, from what I see, especially the younger generation, now the baby boomers, they're still all, they're crazy. But these younger generation, guys that are younger than me, are not too hip of the state of the Israeli government and what they're doing. And to sit there and think we don't have to pay attention to what they think. Meanwhile, the United States of America supplies all their jets, supplies all their missiles, supplies all their ammo, supplies all this stuff, and it's paid for by the U.S. taxpayer. I mean, who do you think your country, if you listen to the narrative, now I used to be all big into the narrative of World War II, you know, and, you know, I used to think that there were 6 million Jews that were killed by Nazi Germany. And I don't necessarily think that anymore because, I mean, that's the only thing they got you thinking about is how many Jews were killed in Nazi Germany or in the concentration camps. You know, of all the guys that I knew personally that were in concentration camps, not one of them was Jewish. I got a buddy of mine. He's 70. His uncle was in the Dutch resistance. He died in the Nazi concentration camp. I got another guy. He's a customer of mine. He's 80-some now, 85. You know, his whole family was in a concentration camp because his dad was in the Luftwaffe and he got captured by the Russians. His whole family was. He's telling me about it. His mom had a baby on a train going into wherever they were sending him. So I began, as I learned, like, what is being promoted out there is not necessarily true. But if you sit there and think about what's being promoted, you know, the liberation of the Allied forces of these camps, and then they were able to be held up by France and England and the United States and dumped over there into the Middle East and form their country. They couldn't even do it on their own. And to sit there and say, oh, we don't have to take orders from everybody. Like you're a joke. You're a clown. You've never actually formed anything without everybody helping you and supplying you. And to take that position and then continue bombing to screw up the entire planet's economy? Because 20 or 25% of the crude oil goes through there, not including all the fertilizer that goes for the crop. And is it like, you know, everything's about you? I mean, seriously. And you sit there and think, oh, you know, we ain't got to take orders for it. You better. You better. You're going to get Obadiah'd. You keep doing stuff like that. And you got it coming if you keep doing it. And then, I mean, everybody knows what this ministry thinks about Esau Edom. He's a parasite. Talk about a parasite. It's insanity. Absolute insanity. But the only reason why this country, the public, actually is willing to support Israel is because of a lack of knowledge. The state of Israel, the Israelites, is because of lack of knowledge. Because of what these preachers have been teaching them all these years. And all those congregations never once and checked up and did their own homework to see if what they're saying is true. They're dogs that don't bark. They're preachers that have misled the flock. And they're oblivious to it. They're blind to it. They're blind to the word of Christ. They're blind to the covenants with Abraham. And it's all screwed up. Improper teaching. And people not taking responsibility for their own security. I run a business. You know, I'm in charge. The spot that I'm at in my company right now, I am in charge of making sure there's enough work in front of to support 8 different households. If I make a wrong decision, then it's not just my household that suffers. It's 8 different paychecks that suffer. Now, these preachers out there, if they teach improperly, they get paid well. And meanwhile, and I can't even tell you how many households I've seen be divided. The government isn't this country's enemy. The men that are behind the pulpits that are pushing this Judeo-Christian philosophy are your enemy. They're not your friends. It's like Pastor Peters used to say, you love them now, but you ain't going to love them come eternity. You ain't going to love them because you're going to understand the depth of the destruction and the removal of your household and country because of the lack of obedience to the Lord our God. For the dismissal of his law. There you go. They took away. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew. Chapter 11. I begin by reading in verse 1. At that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, and that you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. So the ones that think they're in the know and they're all educated, God's hidden them. Now, I can see it because I grew up in that philosophy. Those highly educated, doctorate degrees in Judeo-Christian philosophy. And here Jesus says, I've hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent. laughable. Verse 20. Yes, Father, for this way was well-pleasing in your sight. It's like John always used to say, sure, I'm glad he chooses the weak and foolish, because here I am. Well, I agree with him on that. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal to him. So you're chosen. I mean, just think of how lucky you are to be here. You're chosen. Jesus chose to reveal himself to you and me. I just sit there and I think of all the times that I've taken it for granted. It's probably yesterday, probably last week. You get so much stuff going on in your head. At least I do. I know all you guys are more disciplined than I am. Verse 28. Come to me, all who are weary and heavily laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What is Jesus saying here? Take my yoke. Yoke here represents a political system, in my point of view. And, you know, you have a money, you have ways to handle money in Jesus' political system, his law. You have a judicial system. You murder somebody, you get executed. You rape somebody, you get executed. You steal somebody, you got to give it back. I mean, he has a system. It's easy. The tax system is great. Look at what we have today. You're taxed and you have usury, like it, on levels that are just insane. Why would you not want God's yoke? Why would the preachers of this country and the Judeo preachers, why would they not want to implement his law into the land and secure a future for the generations to come? Because they're greedy. They just want what they can get. Easy lifestyle. I mean, seriously, how many other preachers out there do you know besides Jason and I that, you know, I mean, we both run other businesses. I mean, we got to get hustling. I mean, you know, these guys just sit there and, you know, that's their job, and they're going to sit there and advise people how to run their life, and they couldn't even run a hot dog stand. They rob and rob and rob. They rob from people personally. They rob from their families. They rob the future generations. I mean, you look at the whole Old Testament, it's about a country. And now everything's personal. I mean, it's sickening. Them preachers are your enemy. They are soldiers of the other side. Not Trump and the government. They're just letting you know how far away this country is away from the Lord. Nobody knows what's right and wrong. Nobody knows who's who. I'm almost out of time. Good Lord. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to James. Where are we going to? Okay. We're going to start out. I'm going to cut a bunch of this out. We're going to start in James chapter 1, in verse 2, where am I going to pick? 21. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness in humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. The word that is implanted is that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. He died. He rose again. And in order for you to contact that blood of Christ, you have to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, according to Acts 2:38. And as many of you know, when you read Acts 2, it says, for the promise, he says, let all of the house of Israel know. Jesus came only for the lost sheep of the house of Israel to buy that bride back because she was disobedient. You read the Old Testament. You have his law. You have story after story after story about kings that were heads of state being disobedient to his law. And look what happened to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Don't tell me that God's word is not a political system for all and countries. But prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. So what do you got to do? You and I have to act accordingly to his word. This book is our teacher. This book is our guide. I'm not your guide. This book is. Those preachers out there are not your guide. This book is the word. Pastor Peters isn't your guide. The book is. The only thing Pastor Peters and I and everyone else do is we hold ourselves to a different standard of the things that we say because we don't want to mislead you into doing wrongdoing because of our saying, of what we say. That's the only difference. Why would you want a job like this? Craziness. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he immediately has forgotten what kind of person he was. That's somebody that is merely a hearer of the word. But the one who looks intently at the... Okay, here it is. The one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, is the man who will be blessed in what he does. What's the difference? The man who looks intently at the perfect law of liberty, and he's a doer, and he's an obeyer, because that man understands that he is the bride of Christ, and the perfect law of liberty is the husband, and he does what the husband says. Because he is in a position of submission. Because the husband cannot protect the wife. Or he cannot protect the wife. And a lot of times he doesn't want to. Because of her own stupidity. Because of disobedience. Husbands, be obedient to the word of God. Be subject to it. And things will go well for you, just like it says here in James chapter 1. Wives, be subject to your husbands and be obedient. I cannot even tell you how many times I'm like, now my kids are teenagers. I got two of them that are behind the wheel. And I assure you, when you are in the fire service and a first responder service, when your kids get their driver's licenses, it is an absolute horrifying thing, especially for a guy like me. And I tell them, I was a bad example because I was the guy that didn't wear a seatbelt. And the thought of my son or my little girl not wearing the seatbelt is horrifying, and I have to admit, and I have to eat crow, because I was wrong. And now I wear my seatbelt, and I sat there, and I have to redo all the years of horrible training that I've given them and undo it, and I got to ride them. And they say, but, Dad, you didn't do it. And the darndest thing is they're right, you know? That's why bad training is terrible. But husbands, when you're wrong, admit when you're wrong. When you need to repent, repent. Husbands, be aggressive at your work. Almost be chaotic at it. Because all your chaos is what produces the comfort at home. Be savage at it. Be savage at your obedience to the word. Because if we are effectual doers, then everything that we do will be blessed. If we are aggressive in our obedience to the word, then everything that we do will be blessed. If we just trust that he's right and remove our own thought process out of situations sometimes and just trust him, and pass the test, you'll be lifted up. For those that are new out here, use the word and the law as your guide. Request the book, The Greatest Love Story Never Told. It will change your life and identify exactly who you are. And be aggressive in your obedience. And with that, I am out of time. For those of you that belong to Jesus Christ, may he bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you, and grant you peace. Out.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Zach. Appreciate that sermon. As we go to communion, I can tell by looking at the clock that I'm not going to have time to go through what I intended to. I was going to plan on reading Psalms 107. And if you get a chance to read that, I read it this morning, and I think it's very timely for the times we're living in. I'll just read a few verses so that we can get back on track and I don't keep you too long. It says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the adversary, and gathers from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a desert region. They did not find a way to an inhabited city. They were hungry and thirsty. Their soul fainted within them. Then they cried out to the Lord in their troubles. He delivered them out of their distress. He led them also by a straight way, to go to the inhabited city. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness. And as I read it this morning, I just noticed in that several times in there, the scripture, it was in verse 8, verse 21, same thing. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness. And as the psalmist talks in the Psalms, he just talks about the deliverance that God had for his people. And there's a lot of stuff going on in the world. We are still, are in need of saving. We need saved from a lot of things. The enemies are continuing to make an uproar against us in so many ways, shapes, and forms. And they're attacking us. They're attacking our children. They're attacking Christians. And, we're in need of saving. And I believe that as we partake of communion, that's one of the protections that we have. And we need to be tapping into it every chance we get. There's still people that join us, they laugh at communion. I think that it's more important now than ever before. Next, I want to turn to John 6. I guess I'll just start in verse 53. So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink of his blood, you have no life in yourselves. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him." Oh, dear Heavenly Father, as we come before your communion table and come to eat of the body and drink of the blood, Lord, we give you thanks for your loving kindness. Thank you, Lord, for your loving kindness. Thank you for all the blessings that you give us. We pray that as we do this out of obedience to you. We do this out of love for you. We pray that we will be raised up on that last day, Lord. We thank you, Father, for the price that was paid at Golgotha. As we eat and drink, we apply that blood to our lives, that we may be spotless before your throne when we stand before that judgment throne of God. Oh, Lord, we thank you, Father. We thank you, Father, for all these blessings. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. You may partake.